Welcome to Bible News Press. Our goal is to discuss biblical faith beyond cliches and buzzwords, whether such words are religious or political. Sometimes we sit around the table and fellowship. Sometimes we do a little time travel. It is all part of our journey with our Abba Father, who has given us the key to life. We do it with Jesus, and we do it together. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Laura. I will be reading Ezekiel chapter 21 from the World English Bible. Yahweh's word came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, and preach toward the sanctuaries, and prophesy against the land of Israel. Tell the land of Israel. Yahweh says, Behold, I am against you, and will draw my sword out of its sheath, and will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, therefore my sword will go out of its sheath against all flesh from the south to the north. All flesh will know that I, Yahweh, have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It will not return any more. Therefore sigh, you son of man. You shall sigh before their eyes with a broken heart and with bitterness. It shall be when they ask you, Why do you sigh? That you shall say, Because of the news, for it comes. Every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it comes, and it shall be done, says the Lord Yahweh. Yahweh's word came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy, and say, Yahweh says, a sword, it is sharpened and also polished. It is sharpened that it may make a slaughter. It is polished that it may be as lightning. Should we then make mirth? The rod of my son condemns every tree. It is given to be polished that it may be handled. The sword is sharpened, yes, it is polished, to give it into the hand of the killer. Cry and wail, son of man, for it is on my people. It is on all the princes of Israel. They are delivered over to the sword with my people. Therefore beat your thigh. For there is a trial. What if even the rod that condemns will be no more, says the Lord Yahweh? You therefore, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. Let the sword be doubled the third time, the sword of the fatally wounded. It is the sword of the great one who is fatally wounded, which enters into their rooms. I have set the threatening sword against all their gates, that their heart may melt, and their stumblings be multiplied. Ah, it is made as lightning, it is pointed for slaughter. Gather yourselves together. Go to the right, set yourselves in array, go to the left, wherever your face is set. I will also strike my hands together, and I will cause my wrath to rest. I, Yahweh, have spoken it. Yahweh's word came to me again, saying, Also, you son of man, appoint two ways that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. They both will come out of one land and mark out a place. Mark it out at the head of the way of the city. You shall appoint a way for the sword to come to Rabbah of the children of Ammon and to Judah in Jerusalem the fortified. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way at the head of the two ways to use divination. He shook the arrows back and forth. He consulted the teraphim. He looked in the liver. In his right hand was the lot for Jerusalem to set battering rams, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to set battering rams against the gates, to cast up mounds and to build forts. It will be to them as a false divination in their sight, who have sworn oaths to them. But he brings iniquity to memory, that they may be taken. Therefore the Lord Yahweh says, Because you have caused your iniquity to be remembered, in that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings your sins appear, because you have come to memory, you will be taken with the hand. You, deadly wounded wicked one, the prince of Israel, whose day has come, in the time of the iniquity of the end, the Lord Yahweh says, Remove the turban and take off the crown. This will not be as it was. Exalt that which is low, and humble that which is high. I will overturn it. This also will be no more, until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it. You, son of man, prophesy and say, The Lord Yahweh says this concerning the children of Ammon and concerning their reproach. A sword is drawn. It is polished for the slaughter to cause it to devour, that it may be as lightning. While they see for you false visions, while they divine lies to you, to lay you on the necks of the wicked who are deadly wounded, whose day has come in the time of the iniquity of the end. Cause it to return into its sheath, in the place where you were created, in the land of your birth, I will judge you. I will pour out my indignation on you. I will blow on you with the fire of my wrath. I will deliver you into the hand of brutish men, skillful to destroy. You will be for fuel to the fire. Your blood will be in the middle of the land. You will be remembered no more, for I, Yahweh, have spoken it. That is the end of chapter 21. The first thing that grabbed my attention in this chapter was what was said in verse 3 through 4, where it says he was going to cut off the righteous and the unrighteous from the land. I thought about it for a minute, and I realized that cut off doesn't mean he killed them, but it means they're out of the land, that the nation will no longer be a nation as such. It won't have the sovereignty. And that's borne out through the whole chapter up until the point where he says the scepter will not be there anymore until he gives it to him who deserves it. But the other thing also to remember, and I think I've mentioned this before, is that previously in Jeremiah specifically, God had been telling those who would listen that if they wanted to live, to go to Babylon. And you can find that very clearly stated in Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 8 through 9, and Jeremiah 38, 2. Let me read it for you. First, in Jeremiah chapter 21, Jeremiah has already been speaking specifically to Zedekiah, saying that there's going to be this destruction and wrath and great indignation, and that the king of Judah, Zedekiah, will be delivered over to the king of Babylon. Then in verse 8, we hear that this is what Yahweh told Jeremiah. You shall say to this people, Yahweh says, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who remains in this city will die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he who goes out and passes over to the Chaldeans who besiege you, he will live, and he will escape with his life. Then in chapter 38, we have some of the leaders, some of the wicked leaders of Judah there, of Jerusalem, verifying that this was indeed what Jeremiah had been telling the people, and they're complaining to King Zedekiah. They say, Jeremiah spoke to all the people, saying, Yahweh says, He who remains in this city will die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he who goes out to the Chaldeans will live, and he will escape with his life and live. So they ask that Jeremiah be killed, be put to death, because, quote, he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in the city, but obviously against God's desires very clearly. This all echoes what Moses told them in, as is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 30, specifically verses 15 and 19, where he tells them that he has set before them life and death. They can have life if they follow God and his ordinances, and they will be cursed if they don't. And then also in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, the promise is again reiterated. That is the rather well-known section that says, Come now, and let's reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good fruit of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Then there are a couple of other examples, just in case you think that still maybe God is not being fair. There is an example of this Ethiopian. His name is Ebed-Melech, and he is spoken of in both Jeremiah 38, verses 6 through 13, and Jeremiah 39, 15 through 18. And it describes him in one translation as a eunuch and in another as an officer. But what happens is that in Jeremiah 38, where we just read that they wanted to put him to death, but King Zedekiah put him in a pit, or let them put him in a pit, that this Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, gets him rescued. He gets the king to agree to that. So then after that's done in Jeremiah 38, verses 6 through 13, In Jeremiah 39, verses 15 through 18, God gives Ebed-Melech a very specific promise of deliverance, even though he still is in the city, even though there's still going to be judgment overall. And then, of course, we know that Jeremiah was not to leave. He had a very particular role that he was playing there. So again, God is treating people as individuals. Interesting, on top of that, even after all of this, with King Zedekiah, in Jeremiah 38, verses 17 through 20, he is told that he still has a chance to surrender and that he can avoid much personal devastation, life for his family, and a reasonable captivity, if you will. And he also would save the city. The city wouldn't be burned if he would just surrender. Basically, surrender to God's judgment to what has to take place at this point. But we know from reading in all of the different places where this is recorded in 2 Kings and in Jeremiah that Zedekiah does not pay attention to this warning, and his sons are killed in front of him, and the city does get burned. And one final note of this, of God taking care of the righteous who were still there for various reasons. Regarding Jeremiah, King Nebuchadnezzar specifically gave orders for him to be looked out for, and that is in Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 11 through 14. So this paints a fuller picture of what is being said in Ezekiel 21. The vast majority of those who believed God would have left if they had the freedom to do so. And those who didn't, for various reasons, were still protected. They were still cut off from the land because it was not going to exist as a nation. There was not going to be a king anymore until, as we will see in verse 27, he comes whose right it is. Still, the immediate future is full of trouble for the nation, and people will die because of their wickedness, their lack of faith, and anyone who has been hesitant to leave up to this point should pay attention again to what is being said by the prophets, and they should start grieving. God is getting across here that this is going to happen. In verse 13, I wanted to address the translation in the World English Bible because it is odd to our modern ears, I think. Let me read that verse again from the World English Bible. It says, "For there is a trial. What if even the rod that condemns will be no more, says the Lord Yahweh?" The old-fashioned King James Version is even a little bit easier to understand than that. And it says, "Because it is a trial, and what if the sword condemns even the rod?" So here, the rod means the scepter. So it is a metaphor for the royalty again, talking about the fact that that's going to be cut off. And as we saw in Jeremiah's conversation with Zedekiah, Zedekiah still had a choice that would affect the outcome. So this question is a reminder of that. Verse 17 speaks of God's fury, and it bears repeating over and over because people get confused about this, that God is just and he is not at all capricious. He has warned so many times over the past 1,000+ years, and he has been ready to forgive those who repent. But most of the people and leaders have pursued bloodshed and great wickedness. You can read through all the various histories and prophets in the Old Testament to see just how bad their wickedness was. So there comes a time to deal with it, and God has perfect timing. Verse 18 begins the section that is talking about King Nebuchadnezzar using divination and going up against Ammon and Jerusalem to conquer them. I was recently reading about divination because it came up in another context for me, something I was talking about. Now, unfortunately, people in our day and age still use divination. You might be surprised to know that, though most of us in the U.S. probably don't use liver. Looking at the lobes of liver of a sacrifice to animals was standard for a very long time and might still be in various places from documentaries that I have seen. But in our day and age, the ways that people use divination have proliferated. They've taken on so many different shades and clothing and terminology, and it has been masked by nicer sounding vocabulary. Now, of course, there are always people who fake this, but there are people who really are trying to do this, and it's more than you might think. So what is divination? Broadly speaking, divination covers asking for guidance from other sources besides God. Everything from false prophets to astrology to seeking contact with the dead, which biblically speaking is called necromancy. And you can specifically look at that in Leviticus 19:31, Deuteronomy 18:11, and Isaiah 8:19 to see that's abominable. So all of these are clearly forbidden in the Bible. And divination is based on the idea that there is secret knowledge available from spiritual sources other than the one true God. And it's often accompanied by misleading signs and wonders coupled with attaining the promise of godlike power and knowledge. Sound familiar? But much like with Balaam, here, God shows that he can guide such detestable pursuits for his own purposes. And another example of this is when King Saul went to see the medium in 1 Samuel chapter 28. God just took control of that situation to get the message he wanted to get things done. Now, he didn't cause King Saul to go to the medium. Let's make that perfectly clear. And in fact, in 1 Chronicles 10:13, it says, sadly, that it is because of going to the medium, that is why Saul died, when and how he did. So God is to be our source in the ways he has said for us to come to him. And we have, one, prophecy, and two, we are told not to be anxious about tomorrow. Jesus talks about that in Matthew 6:34, and Paul mentions it in Philippians 4:6 through 7. Don't be anxious about things. Today, when people say, as they frequently do, I got a sign from, and fill in a deceased loved one's name, this is not something a Christian can support or encourage, even to make a person feel better. Our dead loved ones are not communicating with us or watching over us. It is either our imaginations or the work of Satan and his demons to draw us into occult things. So in Ezekiel 21, it continues in verse 23, saying that this particular divination is in accordance with God's prophecies, that they should not discount it as false because their sin is totally exposed. And Zedekiah is again highlighted as wicked, and he should prepare to at least be deposed as king. And again, this is in contrast to the amazing prediction and promise in verse 27 of He Who Is Coming. Then we have verses 28 through 32, and this is another example of God being involved with other nations, other peoples. Even though Israel is chosen for a specific purpose to be the line of Christ and for the law and all of that, God still wants other people, often referred to as Gentiles, to follow his ways. We have the example of Jonah going to Nineveh. We have the examples in Isaiah of him speaking to many nations. Nahum is also specifically written to Nineveh in major parts of it. But here in Ezekiel 21, we have the people of Ammon that are in the spotlight. Their time for judgment is also on the horizon. They will be destroyed. The prophecy indicates that they will be destroyed where they live, per verse 20. They will be obliterated as a people. Consider that they, too, are getting a warning. Remember Ezekiel 18:32, all are invited to turn and live. And then we have the rightly famous John 3, verses 14 through 17, where Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he must be lifted up as the serpent was lifted up by Moses in the wilderness, and all people had to do was to choose to look. We can turn and look, and he chooses to give life to those who want it. That's all for today. Thanks for listening.
That is the Bible News Press segment for today, but not the end of our journey.